A newly formed Hawaiian political party has gathered enough signatures to get on the state's ballot during this year's election. Craig DeSilva reports from Honolulu.
The Aloha Aina political party, formed last month, submitted the more than required 600 signatures of registered voters to the State Office of Elections. This makes the party eligible to field candidates for this year's legislative and congressional races. Party co-chairman Wayne Pinoki says the party will work to push through Hawaiian issues currently not given high priority in the state legislature.
We continue to be wards of the state, and we don't see really any work being done in the legislature that is of any substance that would help us to become independent and remove us as wards of the state. One of the biggest things is the ownership of the return of our ceded land. We haven't seen any action on that yet. At the same time, we are working with various groups to gain federal recognition.
Pinoki says the Aloha Aina Party is not just for Native Hawaiians, but for all people interested in local issues. The party was formed after Native Hawaiian groups and leaders began rallying the state legislature to fight for Native rights. It gained momentum after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Hawaiians only elections for Office of Hawaiian Affairs trustees is unconstitutional. The Aloha Aina Party is the first Native Hawaiian political party to be formed since 1900. For National Native News, I'm Craig DeSilva in Honolulu.
In Alaska, the Indian Health Service has denied a funding request filed by Ketchikan Indian Corporation to provide local hospital care for its compacted clients. The corporation wanted funds which go to the IHS-operated Mount Edgecombe Hospital in Sitka, Alaska. As Joanna Markell reports, the corporation has appealed the decision.
Indian Health Service has ruled that roughly $1.8 million in federal Native health care funding belongs with the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, not Ketchikan Indian Corporation. KIC filed a claim for the funds to administer hospital care locally, instead of sending tribal members to the Search Hospital in Sitka, which is a plane ride away. According to the IHS, KIC didn't submit a request to withdraw the money until after both tribal groups signed funding agreements. KIC has appealed the decision. General Manager Charlie White says KIC is responsible for health care in the borough of Ketchikan and needs funding to provide services to its members.
Since our language hadn't changed from our original contract, 98 and included 99, in 2000, that was their justification. Of course, our justification is that we did not give them a resolution as required from a tribe to permit them to give that funding to Mount Edgecombe.
The IHS's Mike Mastecki says in the future, KIC could provide care locally.
It's recognized that there's a basis for being able to provide inpatient services to your patients, your members at a hospital within their community. But you balance that against what does it do to the healthcare system, the Native healthcare system in Alaska.
Both Search and KIC officials agree that more funding is needed. Ken Brewer is the president of Search.
Federal government, by its own acknowledgement, only funds core health services for Alaska Native American Indians at less than 60% level of need. The focus should be on getting the federal government to fully fund the level of need identified for American Indians, Alaska Natives.
Brewer says losing hospital funding from Ketchikan could jeopardize the stability of regional health care in Southeast Alaska. KIC officials have said federal law stops any more Alaska tribes from pulling out of regional health consortiums. And Charlie White says KIC has the authority to provide hospital services under the Indian Self-Determination Act. The parties were scheduled to discuss the issue informally over the weekend. In Ketchikan, Alaska, I'm Joanna Markell.
This is National Native News. I'm Pete Figueroa.
National Native News. Good afternoon. I'm Jimmy Ojik for CKWE News. Fraser Valley, British Columbia Native Band's dispute with the province escalated during the weekend into a roadblock and threats of a toll booth. The province warned of legal action. Aboriginal Affairs Minister Dale Lovick says BC is prepared to take the GM Band to court to end the blockade. He said he will likely consult the Attorney General's office if the band refuses to negotiate and goes through on threats to charge $10 toll at a busy bridge connecting the Fraser River communities of Agassiz and Rosedale. The natives erected a barricade on a rural road in the Fraser Valley about 100 kilometers east of Vancouver on Friday night after talks over the fate of Fairy Island Provincial Park collapsed. And more news from BC. Nishka leaders say the federal government has corrected a mistake made long ago. The BC Indian Bands Treaty is now law after receiving Senate approval and royal assent last night. Tribal Council President Joe Gosnell calls it a marked departure from the type of government the Nishka have now left behind. He says after 130 years of dependence on the federal government, the Nishka are ready to take control of their future. The deal gives about 5,000 Nishka $253 million, self-government, and more than 2,000 square kilometers of land in northwestern BC. In exchange, the Nishka have given up their tax-exempt status and claim to other land the federal government took from them. And from Sydney, Nova Scotia, Native teachers from across Atlantic Canada are in Sydney to discuss how to make education more meaningful for Aboriginal students. About 500 people are attending the Atlantic Native Teachers Education Conference, which opened yesterday. Conference spokesperson Marion Paul says Native students who leave the language and culture of their own communities to go to school often feel insecure. Education directors in Native communities across the Atlantic region selected the issues for workshop discussions. They include spirituality, identity through Native art, peaceful school initiatives, Mi'kmaq arts and crafts, the internet, and Native languages. And from Saskatchewan, two suspended Saskatoon police officers have had their pay reinstated. The decision by the Saskatchewan Police Association came down this morning. Constables Dan Hatchin and Ken Munson are charged with assault and unlawful confinement. Those charges stem from the alleged abandonment earlier this year of an Aboriginal man on the city's outskirts. Both officers appeared before the commission to argue that their suspensions without pay were too harsh. The ruling means the officers will get back wages from early last month when they were suspended without pay, but the pay issue isn't settled yet. Now that criminal charges have been laid, the Saskatoon Board of Police Commissioners must meet again to decide if they will keep getting paid. And from Fredericton, many New Brunswick Native loggers are outraged that a judge rejected their demand for a bigger cut of the crowned harvest. Former logger Joshua Bernard was found guilty of possessing crown timber near Miramichi. A provincial court judge ruled no treaty rights give the Mi'kmaq any rights to the wood. Logger Tim Paul of the St. Mary's Reserve in Fredericton calls the ruling crazy and interprets it as a message that Aboriginal people have no rights. Another Native logger says they can't make a decent living with current logging deals providing enough work for only 30 days a year. But the verdict is good news for the province. New Brunswick rejected the notion that lumber was covered by last year's landmark Supreme Court ruling on Native gathering rights. And finally, from Winnipeg, they have casinos in BC, Saskatchewan, Ontario, and the Atlantic provinces, and now Manitoba is finally ready to let First Nations run their own casinos. In a little more than a month, the lucky winners of the rights to open up 5 Native-run casinos will be announced, but Manitoba Conservative, who gave the Canadian gamblers their first real casino in 1989, wonder, what's the rush? Opposition gaming critic Jack Reimer says it's a major expansion of gambling in Manitoba. He wants NDP Premier Gary Doer to do what he calls on Tories to do in 1994, stand back and take a hard look at gambling before expansion. He suggested the NDP is more interested in paying back First Nations for their support during the election last September than in listening to Manitobans. And that's the news, sports and weather coming up right after this. For CKWE 103.9, I'm Jimmy Ojek.